Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, you are so good to us. The grace that you've given to us, the love that you've bestowed upon us. Lord, we are so unworthy, Lord, but in spite of us, we are your children. We are so thankful, Lord, that you would call us children, that you would die for our sins, that you would suffer a brutal death for us. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father, for another day of life that you've blessed us with. Thank you, Father, for the air that you give us to breathe. Lord, may we bring you praise. May we sing of your glorious wonders, Lord, with our next breath. Lord, we ask that as we gather tonight here as a family, as brothers and sisters, that you would bless our time together, you would give us good fellowship, that we would edify one another, that we would build each other up. Father, that as we look to your holy word, Father, that you would wash us, you would cleanse us, Lord, that you would strengthen us through your word, that you would teach us, that you would convict us, Lord, through your word. May we have it on our hearts, Lord, that we might not sin against you, Lord. So bless our time tonight, Lord. I ask that you would speak through me, Lord. So, and we pray, Lord, that your word would accomplish all it sets out to do in us, Lord. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. So, thanks everyone for being here. Tonight we'll be on verse 8, but as usual, we'll read from verse 1 to just make sure we're keeping it in context. So, 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So last week, we read, John was saying, little children, remember as a term of endearment, he's saying, little children, let no one deceive you. And we talked about, you know, the way that we're not going to let someone deceive us is by abiding in Christ. When we abide in Christ, we practice righteousness. When we're doing that, the Word of God is being written on our heart. We're going to be in it daily. So that when we hear something that's not right, you know, the red flag goes up. And thus, not letting yourself be deceived. Okay, so John is telling his family, his flock, children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as Christ is righteous. Now he moves on here in verse 8. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Okay, so moving on, for practicing righteousness just as Christ is righteous. He says here, he who sins is of the devil. Now, remembering all that we've talked about, you know, whoever commits sins, you abide in Christ, you know. Remembering, keeping that in the back of your mind, keeping it in context here, he who sins is of the devil. Now, knowing full well what John has been taking us through, what does that mean here? Does it mean that Because all of us sin, right? So does that mean that all of us are of the devil? No. What has John been telling us here? You know, a lifestyle thing here. He who practices sin, okay? He that committeth sin, the definition for committeth in the King James, has the word abide in it. So he who is abiding in their sin, okay, who's continuing willingly sinning, okay? And John is kind of, you know, set two different standards here. He who is abiding in Christ, you know, in the light where Christ is, and he who is abiding in sin, darkness. Two different standards here. Two different paths here, okay? So here, he who sins, who's abiding in their sin, lifestyle of sin, willingly, you know, and joyfully is living in their sin. Okay, so he who does this is of the devil. So the one who is abiding in their sin, it's a habitual practice for them. This person is of the devil. It is clear that this person is walking in darkness, living a lifestyle of sin, not remorseful of their sin, not even convicted of their sin. Okay? Thus proving that indeed they do not have a new nature. They're not a new person, but still have their original sinful nature. They're still slaves to their sin. That old man has not been put to death for them. They're still slave to this sinful nature. And so that's all they feed is their sinful nature, thus being of the devil. Now, flip, if you would, back to Ephesians real quick. Ephesians chapter 2. And if you're in 1 John, you'll be turning to your left. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Stop right there for a second. Okay? Here he talks about, here God made us alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now it sounds like in 1 John here that the one who is sins, okay, plural, continuing in, is still dead in their trespasses and sins. Okay, so moving on now. Verse 2. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Now we know that all of us were once conducted ourselves this way. We were dead in our sins. We were once walked according to the to this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, which is who? Satan. Okay? We were fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and we were children of wrath. Okay, now flip back to 1 John. Now, it sounds like to me here when we read, he who sins is of the devil. So what hasn't happened in Ephesians 2 for these people? They have not been made alive. They're still dead in their sins. Because if they were made alive, they wouldn't be continuing in their sins. They wouldn't be of the devil no longer. They wouldn't be walking according to his ways. If God makes someone alive, they're alive. They're not going to die again. Spiritually speaking, yes, we're all going to die one day, unless God takes us home. But we're all going to die one day. And if God has made us alive spiritually, if he's enlightened us, guess what? We ain't dying spiritually again. He will keep us. Okay, so it sounds like here that this person, he who sins, they're still slave to that sin. They're still dead. For it says they're of the devil. And clearly, again, by their lifestyle, by the fruit that they're producing, they are not practicing righteousness. They are not abiding in Christ. But they are practicing lawlessness, sin, doing the things that the devil wants them to do, that the devil does. John 8:44 says, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." And so if we're of the devil, you know, a child of the devil, slave to our sin, these very things we are doing. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. That is, knowing full well that he was created a holy angel. So it's not in the sense that from the beginning of his creation, because he was once an angel, holy angel. Okay, so in the beginning, from the time of his fall, when he brought sin into the world until now, Satan continues to sin. He continues to miss the mark. You know, and who remembers what Satan wanted? To be greater than God. He had a pride issue, didn't he? He wanted to. And you know, if you read the account in Genesis, when he's tempting Eve, what does he tell her? He says, if you eat in that fruit, you will surely not die. But, what? You will be like God. So what's his deal there? Here he wants to be like God. That's why he gets the boot, you know. Now he's trying to convince other people. Oh, you know, God doesn't want you to eat this fruit because he knows that you will be like God. In the sense that I am God. You know, all of us, it's different from striving to be like God in the sense that we want to be holy like him. Different from that I want to be God. Everyone see the difference there? So from the beginning of that time, he continues. He's the ruler of this earth. He's deceiving. He's lying. He's murdering. He's the father of the lies. So what does it say here? Continuing on. For he who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. And again, I want to stress that he continues. It's not like Satan said, you know what? Man, I really made a mistake. You know, God, you know, I should have never done that. Can I go back to heaven? That point is not going to come for Satan. He's not having conviction. He's not feeling guilt. He's still trying to deceive people and say, you know what? You can be like God. Just go ahead and do this. You'll be all right. Wanting to lead you down that path to where he's going to end up. So don't be mistaken. You know, I hear people every once in a while, oh, man, I sure do feel bad for Satan. I'm going to pray for him. What? You know? Read your Bible, people. So, continuing on, okay. That he might... For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Now, this sounds familiar from just a few verses ago. The word manifest is from the same Greek word used in verse 5. Okay? And it means to render apparent. Okay? Christ came to this earth in the flesh as a man, fully man. Okay? Fully man, fully God. Then we learn in verse 5. In fact, let's read verse 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sins. So we know that in verse 5, why was Christ manifested? To take away our sins. To suffer on the cross, to die on the cross for you and I. To shed his blood for us. To pay the debt that you and I owed. He was manifested for this reason. Okay, that we can have forgiveness of sins. Come and give us a new nature. Okay? So now here in verse 8, another reason Christ was manifested was that, let's read, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil." Now, I think the NASB puts it better here and has it right. "The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil." You know, the New King James is saying here that He might destroy the works, that He might destroy the works of the devil. The ESV and the New American Standard have it, His purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Not that He might, or not that He's going to try. And I don't necessarily think that's what the New King James is saying here. But some might read that word "might," you know, and think, "Oh no, you know, He just might destroy the works of the devil. What am I going to do?" No, because He came to destroy the works of the devil. Hebrews 2:14. Listen to this. "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil." So through His death, that was His victory. That was our victory. You see, He has already destroyed the works of the devil. When Christ came and died on the cross, that sealed it. And Satan knows that. That's why he's doing all he can. You know, from that point on until now, until His day is coming, that He's going to deceive everyone He can. He's going to try and rob you. Because He has been defeated. Christ's death was the victory. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Starting in verse 1. Let's just read here, and I want you guys to pay attention. Revelation chapter 20. "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while." Verse 4. "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus, and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads, or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has the part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison, and he will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." So that's what's awaiting Satan. He will be tortured along with those who are of the devil forever and ever. Christ is victorious. Amen. The word "destroy" is the Greek word "lou," and it means to loosen or break up, to destroy, to dissolve, melt, or put off. So what are the works of the devil? Anyone? Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? I think you had...
Sin.
Sin, yes. So,
okay.
So specifically, what are some of these sins? What are some of these works?
Rebellion against God.
Rebellion against God. Isn't that what lawlessness is? Rebellion against God's commands, His duties, His responsibilities.
Deceit.
Deceit. Like we talked about. What is He busy doing? Deceiving.
Murder.
Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh.
Pride of life.
I was going to say vanity.
You're going to say what?
Vanity.
Drunkenness.
Carousing, orgies.
Steal, kill, and destroy.
Sensuality.
Yes. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Anything that God is against, He is doing. And trying to drag you along with Him. And that's why John says the verse before, little children, let no one deceive you. Because John has told us that there are antichrists out there, false teachers, deceiving. Satan is busy 24/7, if he's in time and space, deceiving, murdering, killing, doing all he can because he knows that he is defeated. He knows that sometime soon, hopefully, that this is his end. And so he's taken as many as he can with him. William Burkett writes, those sins in particular which have had most of the devil's image upon them and render persons most like unto him, such are malice and envy, rejoicing at the calamities and delighting in the evils that befall others, rage and passion, bitter strife and contention, schism, and faction, lying and falsehood, craft and treachery, but especially pride and haughtiness, which was the sin that turned Satan out of heaven and made him a devil in the hell. By the works of the devil, here are meant in particular idolatry and all idolatrous worship, even to the worshiping of the devil himself. Think about these suckers for a minute. These, you know, poor people. Devil worshipers. Here they think they're worshiping Satan. When little do they know that they are being deceived by Satan. And here they are worshiping him. This and all other kinds of idolatry had strangely prevailed and overrun the world before the coming of Christ, who came on purpose to deliver mankind from this slavery. From this slavery that all of us once were in. Being a slave to our sin. With no hope. But Christ manifested to take away our sins. And to destroy the works of the devil. To free us from these very things. So if Christ came to destroy these works, why in the world would any of us want to continue in them? Knowing full well what is going to happen. And thus proving again what a child of God really is. If God has made you alive, you will be fleeing from those works that the devil is doing. Because Christ came to destroy those works. When you abide in Christ, you practice righteousness. And you're fleeing all else. You're fleeing all these works of the devil. Why would you want to be doing something that Christ came to destroy? Think about that, guys. Listen. When God says to honor your father and mother, what does Satan say?
Rebel.
Disobey them, rebel, cause them grief. What is Christ coming to do? To destroy those, that very thing. So why, hear me out, why in the world then when we want to dishonor our father and mother. That is the work of Satan there. So think about that next time you want to talk back to your parents or disobey them or complain when they tell you to do something. Christ came to destroy these very works. But when you abide in Christ, you practice righteousness and you want to do what's holy and pleasing in God's eyes. Because He has made you alive. He's enlightened you. He's put a hunger in you to love Him, to obey Him, to honor Him, to fulfill His commands, His duties, His responsibilities that you now have. And in doing so, you will honor your father and mother. So remember, Christ was manifested to take away our sins, and He was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. So remember the works of the devil, knowing that Christ has come to destroy them. Don't walk in them. Don't practice them. They're vile. They're an offense to God. And they should be vile and offense to us. Amen? Anyone want to comment or add anything to that? Let's pray. Father, that You would give us ears to hear, Lord. That You would give us a mind and a heart to remember these things that we have heard from Your holy, precious Word. For it is alive, sharper than any two-edged sword, that can pierce one's heart, that can change one's life, that can convict. Lord, may we hear what You are saying to us through Your Word. Lord, convict us. Lord, as we have read that those who sin, who continue in their sin, are of the devil. Who would want to be of the devil? Lord, we know that You have come to destroy the works of the devil. Father, may it not be that we continue in these very works. Lust, the pride of life, the pride of flesh, all these things that we mentioned, that You have come to destroy. Lord, may we be convicted when we ever do any of these evil works, for they are of the devil. Lord, help us to be imitators of You. Help us to practice righteousness. Help us to live lifestyles that are pure. Help us to live a lifestyle that is holy, just as You are holy. Help us to live lifestyles that are sacrificial, that are not of self, but of serving others, dying to self, and preferring one before ourselves, just as Paul says in Philippians. May we truly be imitators of You, Father. May we walk by the Spirit, not of the flesh, not of the works of the devil. In Jesus' holy name.